Steeler fans, welcome back to another episode. I'm Jeff Hartman, editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. And with you, as always, a short, brief, less than 20-minute episode, whether you're watching on YouTube, listening on podcast form, or checking us out on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, updating you on all the Pittsburgh Steelers news that has been going on this offseason. Started the show about a week ago. Things have been going great. We thank you all for following us on YouTube. If you don't, go there, subscribe. All you have to do is go to the search bar, type in BTSC Steelers Radio, hit the thumbs up, subscribe. You'll get notifications every time we post a video. Also, for on podcasts, go to iTunes, search The Standard is the Standard. That's our podcast platform. Again, subscribe. That way you know every time there's a new podcast. But there is a lot of Steelers news, and this team has just started their second week of organized team activities. For those that don't know, organized team activities is the official term for OTAs. And OTAs, everyone's talking about who's there and who isn't. Le'Veon Bell continues to miss. That's not a surprise. But Le'Veon Bell is in the news for, again, a lot of wrong reasons. No, he did not get caught with marijuana. He did not get arrested. He is not going to face suspension. He released another rap song. Now, I have to be honest, the rap game now is not my cup of tea. I don't listen to that type of music, and that's fine. I have nothing against people that do. But I listened to his song, and you read some of the lyrics. This is transcribed by Joe Rutter of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Listen to what it says. Here's a few interesting lyrics from Le'Veon Bell. Again, not my lyrics, Le'Veon Bell's. So they put me on the tag, all right. Definitely not going to trip like I that bad guy. Wonder why they treat me like the bad guy. You say I'm not the best, but that's a bad lie. I'm a do what I want, just leave me alone. If I don't do what you want, then you want me gone. I'ma say you be real being real aggressive. The way you is real impressive. Okay, now there's some more. That was just one verse. You can see I'm doing shows, so you think I'm out of shape. I want paid. All these people want to trade. I'm the one they want to hate. So to me, I'm a target. Okay. There's more. You can look it up. You can listen to it on social media, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, doesn't matter. He's been pumping up his music for years now, and he has with his most recent song, Target. I guess my beef with this has been beef with a lot of things that Le'Veon Bell has been doing. I just don't know where he's getting. If you are calling yourself a target, you are claiming to be a victim on Twitter and other social media platforms. Season, you would think that if you are saying that the fan base and the media are piling it on, so to speak, that you would kind of go silent, turn the Twitter off, Instagram, anything related to football on there. Yet he doesn't. It's almost as if he can't. It's almost like he can't. He's addicted. It's almost like he's addicted to that attention, whether it be positive or negative. But here's Le'Veon Bell in the mix, throwing numbers around, talking $17 million a year. I just don't understand it. Honestly, this is an honest question. If you're watching on YouTube and you understand what Le'Veon Bell is saying and what he's doing and how he's approaching this entire, do me a favor, go into the comment section and let me know. If you're listening in podcast form, curtain.com, same thing. Go into the comment section and tell me why you think that you understand this, because I, for the life of me, don't get it. I don't get it at all. I don't understand how Bell thinks this is a good move. I know he's trying to sell music. You can buy it on iTunes for 99 cents. I guess he's taking it a dollar at a time. Nonetheless, his rap game is a totally different set. It's a different topic until he brings football onto it, and he's done it again. I just don't get it. Not sure what Le'Veon Bell's is and sway anyone or – I'm assuming the Steelers know what his demands are, but you know what? Maybe I don't get it. So if you do get it, go into the comment section, whether it's on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com or on YouTube, and let me know. Moving on, the NFL Top 100 list on the NFL Network. If you're like me, you didn't even know what was going on. I didn't. All of a sudden, someone sends me an email. The top 50 is already gone. They're doing 50 to 41, and some Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be named on that list. So, of course, I run a website, deals by the extension, and three Pittsburgh Steelers were nominated or were chosen, voted on by their peers in that 10-person gap, 50 to 41. The highest ranking person, which was, I guess you would say, the worst in this scenario, Cameron Hayward, came in at 48. Stock into these rankings. They're very similar to power rankings, but it's the offseason. The NFL is smart. They know how to keep their viewers and their fans engaged. So they do things like the NFL Top 100, and people watch. But still, a lot of fans are wondering, well, why are they so, well, you know, why I don't get this. You know, Cameron Hayward had 12 sacks. He should be a little bit higher. Ryan Shazier got hurt. Should he be on the list? And David DeCastro is a monster. He should be higher. It's all subjective. It really is all subjective. I almost put this similar to a debate that I had over the Memorial Day weekend with family and friends. We were talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And everyone was throwing around these bands from the 80s and 90s and saying, well, I can't see how they would ever get in. And I kept on saying, well, what's the criteria? I mean, let's be honest here. My brother said the Red Hot Chili Peppers, would they get in? And this, well, what's the criteria? You know, how do you compare them to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers? It's the same with these lists and in a sense, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But in this list, what's the criteria? Who's to say that Keenan Allen, who was above David DeCastro, is better and more valuable than DeCastro is as a guard? It's subjective. And it always comes down to position players. But nonetheless, I think that it should tell you something, that they are at numbers 50 to 41. The Pittsburgh Steelers hadn't had a player listed yet. Some take this as like, oh, whoa, that's a slap in the face. I take it as, you know, there's going to be players on the list, and they're not even mentioned until number 50, 48 to be exact. That's where Hayward was ranked. So they have several players that are still to be ranked. I think it's safe to say that Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown will all be listed in the coming shows. They'll have 40 to 31, I guess, next week. You'll check that out on Behind the Steelcurtain. What do you think about those rankings? Do you think that they're legit? Do you find interest in them, or do you just kind of think, it's whatever? Let us know. Hit up the comment section and let us know. Speaking of Ryan Shazier, who made 47th, works top 100, there's some really good news about his rehabilitation. We all know that pay attention, everyone that pays attention, we all know that Ryan Shazier is not going to be playing in 2018. The team gave him his money up front. They said, you know, you're not going to play at all. I think fans kind of took a step back and said, okay, this is good. They're not stringing this out. This is Ryan Shazier's chance to just recover, to rehabilitate. And I'm pretty sure that everyone wanted the same thing, and they still want the same thing, and that's Ryan Shazier to live a full life. Does that mean football? Not necessarily. It doesn't mean football. If it meant football, I think there would be a lot of fans that would be really concerned about re-injury, but at the same time, it's not our life. He's made it very clear he wants to come back and play. And a lot of people said that he's nuts. There's no chance that he'd be able to come back and play. This guy is essentially from the waist down. He had partial paralysis in his lower body. And everyone's saying, you know, Oh my gosh, there's no way. Well, I think there is a way. I'm not saying that I think he should do it, but I think there is a way. Think about December. Cincinnati, Monday Night Football, he gets hurt. Has to have spinal stabilization surgery. How many months until the end of April? We're only talking 3 or 4 months, folks. He walked on the stage. Paralysis to walking 3 or 4 months. These players are unique physical specimen. They are tremendously in tune with their bodies, and they really, really take care of their bodies. And I think that definitely plays a role. I have no doubt at all in my mind that Ryan Shazier will recover, that he'll be able to walk, that he'll be able to jog, he'll be able to play with his son and teach him how to play football if they choose to do that. But will he play football? I don't know. Jeremy Feller of ESPN.com spoke with his father, Vernon Shazier. They said that he's able to drive if he needs to, that he doesn't necessarily like to because he's training so hard. He's involved a lot in the within the organization and the meetings and coaching. He's been at OTAs in a golf cart, helping out, diagnosing plays. He is still very much a part of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the good thing, the comforting thing for fans here is that they should be thinking good on the Steelers. Because if the Steelers have shown him anything so far, it's that we will take care of you. They gave him his $8.7 million up front. He doesn't have to wait for it. Take it, use it towards whatever you need to, but it's your money. You get it now, just like J.G. Wentworth. It's my money and I want it now. He gets his money. But not only that, they're going to keep him in the loop with as a coach, as a scout, as a player that can motivate others, a player that's been there and done that. Again, I don't know if Ryan Shazier is ever going to play football again. Everyone has their own feelings about that. Some say I would not like it. Some say, hey, if he can get it back, get back. You know, it would be awesome. Whatever the case may be, Ryan Shazier is going to be taken care of. The Pittsburgh Steelers are a classy organization, and they'll make sure that he is taken care of. Now, a lot of news coming out, and if you pay attention to OTAs, the Pittsburgh Steelers give the media certain players to speak every single session. Ben Roethlisberger was day one. You had Antonio Brown on day two. Day three, someone else, I can't remember. Mason Rudolph was on day three. And now here we are, day four on Monday. Vance McDonald was out there. He's an interesting player. A lot of people were down on Vance McDonald. They said he didn't have the best hands. Not sure how he would fit with this scheme. Let me talk about Vance McDonald first. Last season, when he was acquired by the San Francisco 49ers, he had been with the team for about a week. 1 week. I'm not talking about OTAs, mini camp, training camp, preseason, 1 week. How in the world do you think any player is going to be able to come in 1 week, learn the whole offensive playbook, get some cohesion with the quarterback and the rest of the offensive line, and still go out and perform? The funny thing is that when he was healthy and he battled ankle last season, when he was healthy, he did perform well. Yeah, he had a couple drops. So did a lot of other players. Vance McDonald is, I think, the perfect tight end for the Pittsburgh Steelers in this offense. And why? The number one reason, he can run and he can, I'm sorry, he can pass catch and he can pass block and he can run block. He can do it all. He is a multi-threat player. He has the speed. It's very deceiving speed. It's not like Heath Miller when he would catch the ball and you just knew he was going to get caught. If Vance McDonald catches the ball in the flat and has a seam, he very well can go the distance. Think back to Chicago last year in the game where I can't remember the player's name, but he ran over probably about 90 yards and caused that fumble and kept the Bears from scoring points at the end of halftime. That's the kind of speed and tenacity this guy has. He has spoken often, not just on Monday, about after OTAs and working with Ben and things like that. He has spoken a lot this offseason about how just being able to be in Pittsburgh, be around the coaching staff, be around teammates, learning the offense, and really getting comfortable. It's hard to believe that his second year with the team, he would just now be getting comfortable when you think about it from a logistics standpoint. I get it. He predicted, and I wrote this article for the website yesterday, Sunday, I'm sorry, Monday, He predicted a breakout season for himself. That's kind of ballsy, first and foremost, that you're predicting a breakout season. I would put money that he is going to have a breakout. I think this guy's a mismatch nightmare. You put a linebacker on him, he's big enough. He reminds me of a Rob Gronkowski. He just doesn't have the size and the hands that Gronkowski does. But he's a mismatch nightmare. If they have this guy healthy for 16 games and Roethlisberger stays healthy, that's just another added dimension to an already lethal Pittsburgh Steelers offense. So there you have it, folks. The Pittsburgh Steelers have wrapped up. They've already started their first, second week of OTAs. Now they're heading into their, you know, you're going to get to hear more and more about some players. But, hey, roster moves, they're going to be happening with injuries that might happen during these workouts. Make sure all the breaking news, they still haven't signed Terrell Edmonds, the rookie, first-round draft pick. Stay in touch with here on YouTube, BTSC Steelers Radio, on iTunes. The standard is the standard. And obviously, your one-stop shop for Pittsburgh Steelers news, behindthesteelcurtain.com. I'm Jeff Hartman, editor of BTSC. I'll see you next time.